Also, it gives instructions that older women are to be teaching to the younger women to help prepare them. From the point of view of a man reading these verses concerning women, as a man looking at these verses, what are applications that a man can make in looking at Proverbs concerning women and the difference between an evil woman and a virtuous woman, and what a good wife is due from her husband? What are some applications that men could make of that? Making good choices. How to choose a wife properly. And we'll see that there are some very, very serious consequences, both good and bad, that are talked about in the book of Proverbs that are based on your choice of a wife. There are a number of rewards that the Bible talks about in choosing correctly, and some very serious consequences for choosing poorly. Let's look first at how the book of Proverbs defines evil women and godly women. First of all, the evil woman is described as being immoral. There are a number of passages that we looked at in chapters 1 through 9 that dealt with the strange woman that the father was warning his son about. Now, we're not going to go back and read all of those, but there are a number of traits that woman possessed. And we'll see some of those traits mentioned in other places in the book of Proverbs as well. But one of the characteristics of an evil woman is that she is immoral. Let's look at chapter 22 and verse 14. It says, "The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein." We talked about that expression, strange woman, earlier in our study of the book of Proverbs, and we saw that it refers to a woman who is immoral. That is the way that word is used universally in the book of Proverbs when it refers to a woman being a strange woman. She is an immoral woman. Let's look at chapter 23 and verses 27 and 28. It says, "For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey, and increases the transgressors among men." And we also saw in our study of chapters 1 through 9 that she was adulterous, that she committed fornication and adultery, and that was part of her nature. So the evil woman of the book of Proverbs is one who is immoral. Another trait that we find of evil women in the book of Proverbs is that they are contentious. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, and we'll be looking at verse 13. It says, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping." When it says that the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping, what does that make you think of? All right? A leaky faucet or a leaky roof. You've got that constant drip, drip, drip. And if you've ever had a leak like that and you've tried to sleep at night, it's like a form of torture. It's always there, and it's always getting on your nerves, sometimes maybe at a low level, but it's always there. It's very irritating. And a contentious woman is described as being that way. What do you think of when you hear the word contentious, a contentious wife? What's it talking about there? Mm-hmm. okay, very argumentative, always opposing the husband or what he says, and maybe not necessarily always the husband. Maybe it's her nature to want to argue with everyone, but someone who is difficult to get along with. And it's interesting that the, as we'll see, the book of Proverbs has a number of passages dealing with contentious women. Let's look at chapter 21 and verse 9. It says, "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." And that brawling woman there is pretty much the same idea as the contentious woman of the other passage. So watch the comparison that's being made here. You're better off what? Just off living somewhere in a corner than living in a big house with a wife who's contentious. It's an unhappy situation to be in. Let's look at chapter 21 and verse 19. It said, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." So in verse 9 it said it's better to live in the corner of a housetop, and here it says it's better to live off somewhere in the woods than it is to live in a house with a woman who's angry and contentious. Let's look at chapter 25 and verse 24. And this one is almost word for word from chapter 21 and verse 9. It says, "It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house." And let's look at chapter 27. In verses 15 and 16, it says, "A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth the wind, and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself." So again, the idea of the contentious woman being a source of irritation. And it's almost like trying to hide the wind to stop her from being contentious. Let's talk about this contentious woman for just a moment. From the point of view of a man who's choosing a spouse, what are things that you would look for that would tell you that a woman might be this type of person? What are some signs that you would look for? How about how she interacts with her family? How would a woman who would turn into this type of wife, what kind of behavior would you expect to see in her interactions with her family? All right, she would be disrespectful, argumentative. What other signs would you look for? Yes, sir. As far as why she's that way?
Yeah, as far as being that way, did she come up on the scene being contentious, or is it something that has caused her to be that way? You know, a lot of times when you are, we bad mouth or we beat up on women, and sometimes the man that she lives with, they cause her to be that way. Now, some people, they take these. Start off a little bit, and then before they can get over, there's something else to it until they keep on, and they end in trouble and drop off. And But it ought to be some reason for a woman to be contentious because they're not going to.
Yeah, I don't. As far as a person's behavior, I think that there are very few aspects of our behavior that we're born with. I think that a lot of it has to do with the person's upbringing. If you have a child that's born into a home where that mother is contentious, then that is what she's going to learn. She's going to observe from her parents how they interact with each other, how they interact with other people, and that's going to be the pattern that she's going to follow. So in a lot of respects, as parents, we have a responsibility of making sure that our children don't grow up that way. A lot of it has to do with how I think a person's parents teach them to deal with adversity. A woman can become contentious, or a man can become contentious a lot of times because things happen in their lives that make them unhappy. Well, if a person is taught how to deal with adversity, how to deal with bad situations, then they won't let those cause them to become bitter. So as parents, we have a responsibility to teach kids how to deal with tough situations in life, and we have a responsibility to teach them by example not to grow up to be argumentative and contentious and difficult to get along with. You mentioned the wife's husband, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in another part of the lesson. But we talk about the contentious woman here, and we'll talk about other negative traits that a woman can have. But we'll also see that the Bible talks about the husband's responsibility that he can contribute to negative behavior on the part of his wife. And he can put stumbling blocks in front of her that will make her more prone to show the negative traits that we'll see here in the book of Proverbs. Yes, sir?
Going back to the question, I might have noticed, it's probably going to get some trouble here in the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people in their marriage is this idea that wedding ceremonies such as this will become something different.
Mm-hmm.
Popularity, respect of everybody else. If you're giving that person giving them what they want during courtship afterwards, you're going to see that they are very contentious if they're not getting what they want.
Mm-hmm. Charles, I think you had a comment.
Mm-hmm.
And advice to young people going back on looking to the signs would be some of the things we've already gone over, how they deal with their parents, how they interact with their friends, and watch how they deal with other people like waiters and waitresses or clerks in stores. A lot of times, they'll be trying to impress the girlfriend or the boyfriend and be on their best behavior, but you get them out in a situation like that and see them interacting with these other people, then some of those true behaviors will be shown. Right.
And then the advice is, it's better to go into the wilderness as labor, I guess, and then to the wilderness. Now, that is contrary to the teaching that we have on the scriptures for marriage.
Well, I think what it's saying is not that you're better off to leave her, but it's saying that the person who's living in the corner of a housetop or a person who's living out in the wilderness is better off than this person who's stuck in a nice house in a contentious marriage. So it's not saying that you're better off to leave her. It's just comparing the situations that you can be in. You can be off living in the wilderness, or you can be in this house living with this contentious woman. But if those are the two choices, then you would have been better off to have been out in the wilderness or living in the corner of a housetop. So certainly it's not saying that under a situation like that a man would leave his wife.
Not obligation,
but the rule. Exactly. And, we're talking about, the verses deal with women. But is this kind of contentiousness something that's exclusive to women? No, it's not. Men can be just as contentious and just as unpleasant to live with. So while this verse does deal specifically with women, as men we need to remember that we can make life for our wives just as miserable by engaging in the same kind of behavior. What can a person do if they're reading through the scriptures and they find that they fit this definition? What does a person who has this problem, what can they do to address their behavior? Repent and stop it. What are some things that they can do that will help them to stop this behavior? Okay. Pick out people to associate with who have good attitudes, so that will give you a model to go by. What are some other things that a person can do to help themselves get out of this contentious behavior? Okay. Mm-hmm. Recognizing that we have a problem, that really applies to just about any situation, any problem, any negative behavior. The first step is to recognize that we have a problem.
If they find themselves in Proverbs and they find themselves reading this and are wise enough to recognize that they fit that description of contention, well, they're already in the right place. Mm-hmm. Like Jim said, they can recognize it, and they're the right one.
I had a little card. It says, to solve a problem, be sure you don't become part of it.
Okay. You know, along that line, if the spouse of a person who's contentious like this, what's the worst thing that they can do to deal with the problem? Try to do it on their own? How about becoming contentious themselves? You see that sometimes. You'll have one spouse who's difficult to get along with, and the other one may be pretty easygoing, but over time, it rubs off on them, and they end up almost at each other's throat. So don't become part of the problem. Don't contribute to the contentiousness. That's right. All right, any other questions or comments? All right, another trait that we see of evil women in the book of Proverbs is that they are deceitful. In chapter 2 and verse 16, where it was talking about the strange woman, talked about her flattery. Later on, when the father was warning the young man about the strange woman, he gave the story of the woman that he saw on the street corner and how she wove this story to the young man. She flattered him. She told him how, you know, the husband was gone away, and we can do all this and get away with it. Won't be any consequences. But they're deceitful. And we covered that in quite a bit of detail, so we won't spend a lot of time on it here. Another negative trait the book of Proverbs talks about is a lack of discretion or good judgment on the part of a woman. So look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22. As a jewel of gold and a swine snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. So an attractive or a pretty woman who doesn't have good judgment is like putting jewelry on a pig. What the verse is telling us. And again, a man needs to be careful, and a woman too, and the person that they date, and make sure that you're becoming involved with someone who has good judgment, good sense, who makes good decisions. What are some problems that you can run into if you marry someone who doesn't have good judgment about things? What are some problems that they cause in the home?
Debt.
That's probably one of the biggest ones that comes to my mind. As you see young people becoming involved with someone who doesn't have good judgment, and just almost immediately they're so far in debt where the spouse has bought just stuff that they don't really need, run up credit card debt, for instance. Probably one of the primary areas where we see poor judgment being shown. Where are other areas since the proverb is dealing with women showing bad judgment, where you see women showing bad judgment in their behavior?
Throughout Proverbs, it speaks about the son. It speaks about his law of the mother, or the wisdom of his mother. The mother is the principal caregiver of the children. Mm-hmm. The children first encounter wisdom through their mother. If she has no judgment, then you're almost doomed to have children that are going to repeat the folly of the mother.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Everybody aware
What are some, have you ever seen any situations in the workplace where you see a married woman showing poor judgment in her behavior and it ends up causing problems? Getting too close in the relationships in the workplace. A lot of that type of thing starts out with what's considered to be maybe innocent flirting. But it is poor judgment, and it ends up causing problems. So a lot of areas where poor judgment can be exercised. And talking too much about details of the marriage and not showing good judgment in the raising of the children. So here it's talking about the fair woman, a pretty woman who lacks good judgment. What is one of the big warnings in that verse to a young man? Okay, but I think that's exactly it. And I think that's one of the main reasons we find this proverb here. And the same goes, same advice would go to a young lady. There are a lot of things that are attractive about a young man. His looks, maybe his behavior, his station in life, but does he have good judgment? All right, any other questions or comments? You know, a lot of times you hear a person that gets in that situation make a statement like, I never intended it to go this far. I never intended for this to happen. And that all goes back to not showing good judgment in their behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things like that start out, sometimes we use the expression with little baby steps and just snowball into something that it shouldn't be. And there are generally warning signs that we can watch for. Another trait of the evil woman that we find in the book of Proverbs is that her behavior is destructive. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. It says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Now later on we'll see a number of traits of the wise woman and what she does for her household. But here the foolish woman is pictured as tearing her house down. Now, in what ways does a foolish woman pluck down her own house or tear down her own house? Okay. All right. And we really haven't talked about what the book of Proverbs says about a woman as a housekeeper, but there are a lot of things that a woman is responsible for in the home when she's the primary keeper of the home. And when she doesn't do those things and doesn't do them well, then the home suffers. The children suffer and the husband suffers. And she does herself as well. But these behaviors that we're talking about here are destructive. Let's look at chapter 12 and verse 4. And here we find a contrast between the virtuous woman and the evil woman or the foolish woman. It says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." So a husband that has chosen well, his wife contributes to his life in many ways. His stature in the community, to his welfare in his home. But the evil woman who possesses these traits that we've talked about makes her husband ashamed, and it's like rottenness in his bones. All right, any questions or comments? Charles? Any other questions or comments? Well, let's start looking at some traits of godly women in the book of Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 31. And we'll be referring to this chapter quite a bit off and on during this part of the lesson. But in Proverbs 31, in verses 10 and 29, we find the godly woman described as being virtuous. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And in verse 29, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. A virtuous woman, a woman who is godly in her behavior, is said that her price is far above rubies. She's a very valuable person. And like all valuable things, she should be treasured and treated as such. And she should be looked for very carefully. But the virtuous woman, the definition of a godly woman, really, in the book of Proverbs starts with the virtuous woman. And here in chapter 31, she's discussed in good detail. A godly woman is also someone who is a good companion to her husband. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, what was the purpose of the creation of woman to start with? A helpmeet or suitable for the man. Man needs a companion. And woman, by her nature, needs a companion. And when you have a good man and a good woman together, life can be something very special. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 31. Ephesians 5 and verse 31, hearkening back to what's said in the book of Genesis, it says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And then let's look at very quickly at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, where it says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband." And in 15 and verse 17, it says, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." So a happy home where you have two people that are good companions for one another, you're better off being poor and living in that kind of environment than living in a home where that companionship is not there, and yet having the best that there is as far as material life offers. But we'll stop here for this week, or for today, and Lord willing, Wednesday night, we'll take up and continue talking about the traits of a godly woman as defined in the book of Proverbs.